Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Six justices, unelected at the U.S. Supreme Court, made a terrible decision, frankly, a judicially active decision, not based upon the text nor on the history with regards to the 1964 Civil Rights Law. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this 6-3 decision was frankly surprising. I thought it would perhaps be 5-4, not knowing exactly which way the Chief Justice would go, but hoping he would go the right way and that it would be a split decision, but it would be a majority that would be very consistent with what the law actually says. The 1964 Civil Rights Act says that you can't discriminate in employment on a number of different categories. We're familiar with race. It also includes the word sex. Now, the writer of this opinion, Gorsuch, has been very good on all of the decisions up until this point. He actually has indicated, even when he was being grilled about his judicial philosophy before the Judiciary Committee, that he opposed judges making law from the bench. And yet that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, let's like 3 years ago when he was being questioned, he said, you know, judges make pretty rotten legislators. You can't get rid of us. It only takes a couple of us to make a decision. It would be a pretty poor way to run a democracy. And now, Matt, he's responsible for one of the most activist rulings in U.S. history in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that he and the other five judges in the majority actually wrote the decision assuming the basis that the word sex in Title VII, the 1964 Civil Rights Act, refers to biological male and female. So it clearly does refer to biological male and female. And they based their decision on the assumption that that's in fact what it refers to. So how did they get to this position where they now say that includes sexual orientation and gender identity? How did they get to that position? It's not that they rewrote the word sex. They say that it refers to biological male and female. They say that when the drafters drafted it, they didn't even think about sexual orientation or gender identity. That not only the drafters, but certainly history of interpreting and even attempts to amend the statute by Congress over the last 40 plus years that have all failed to include gender identity and sexual orientation, all of those really conclude the obvious, and that is sex in the word in the statute refers to biological male and female.
Right, it's common sense, for heaven's sakes,
yes,
you know?
There's just no way that they referred to it or thought about it.
It's very clear. Yeah.
Very clear. And how was it in there? Well, it was in there because women, biological females, were discriminated against in the context of work. They had been discriminated against, as we know, in the context of not being able to vote. Right. And we had a constitutional amendment that gave them the right to vote. Well, that didn't change how they were treated or discriminated against in the context of work. So the 1964 Civil Rights Act included the word, you can't discriminate on the basis of sex in the context of employment. Very simple. Case is over. That's how it should have been. But instead, this case went on and on. And so the question that I want to talk about is, how did the court ultimately come to the position that sex would include sexual orientation and gender identity? And it's even more disturbing than rewriting the statute. Rewriting the statute is one thing. They shouldn't do that, and they didn't do that if you look at the actual words, because they, again, like I said, they assume that it refers to what it obviously does, male and female. What's more disturbing is that Justice Gorsuch and the other five literally bought lock, stock, and barrel the fictitious notion that you can literally change your gender by just simply changing your mind.
Embraced fantasy, really.
Yeah, so when you have, in the case of the person in the funeral home, the male, who was biologically male.
He was hired as a male.
Right, and then he tells the employer, and it was a religious employer, a Christian employer, by the way, in the funeral home, that I'm going to take some time off, and I'm coming back, and I will be having a different name, a female name, and I'm going to identify as a female. Now, the employer then makes a decision. In your position, greeting people, that's going to inject something that could be disturbing. It literally
you're dealing with grieving
families.
Not a
place for that to happen.
Yeah, it's not appropriate.
For, you know, somebody to come in and know that you're male, but now you're dressing and looking like a female. This is a place where it's low-key. It is a place of solace. It's a place of comfort.
Healing.
There should be no distractions. You're just working with the sensitivities of so many different people on a daily, weekly basis who are grieving the loss of somebody that they dearly love.
Right.
So, no, this is not going to be the place for you. Terminates the person. The person files suit, ultimately passes away before the oral argument. The case then is continued by that person's estate. So Gorsuch buys into this fictitious idea that this person really isn't male, that he actually is female. He talks about how this person was assigned at birth to be a male. And that's the first proposition that is absolutely false. You're not randomly given a ticket at birth that happens to have M or F on it.
And then you can change it
and then,
will.
Oh, you say, oh, well, you know what? They gave me the wrong ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like on the other line.
I really, you know, they just assigned
me
something.
God made a mistake, right?
Yeah, they assigned me to be male. They just made a mistake. Well, no, they looked at you as you came out of your mother's womb, and they saw biology, and they said, ah, this is a male.
Fact.
Ah, this is a female. It's fairly simple.
Right.
Right? So to assign somebody a sex at birth is a non-starter. And once you even start using that language,
it's a red flag.
It's a red flag. Mm-hmm. And in the lower court referred to this individual as someone who is biologically male, who later told his employer that he wanted to identify as female. And they used the pronoun he was born biologically male, so forth. Gorsuch doesn't use that at all. Gorsuch refers to this person as a she, not a he. Hmm. Never refers to him as a he. Says that he was identified or assigned at birth to be a male, and later he identifies as female. So in Gorsuch's contorted thinking, which is even more disturbing than rewriting the word sex to include something that it didn't, he's assuming that this person can change his gender by simply thinking that that's what he wants to do.
He's bought into the fantasy. It's so sad.
Yeah, so when this person is terminated, he's not terminated because he's a male who now wants to identify with the fictitious construct of being a female, but this person is a female. And you're terminating this female because she's a female. That's how he ultimately came to that particular decision.
I call it a supreme disappointment.
It is absolutely disturbing.
And how is this going to affect future legislation, future laws and decisions?
Well, here's a couple of good points. One, it's not going to directly affect the public accommodations law because in the 1964 Civil Rights Act, it includes the section regarding employment. That was the issue before the court. But the public accommodations law is also part of that 1964 law. And guess what? It does not include the word sex. So you can't discriminate. And what was happening back then where women weren't discriminated against on the basis of they couldn't go to a restaurant or ride a bus, but people of color were. So that includes race.
Right.
But it does not include the word sex. So there's not going to be a one-to-one crossover between this and public accommodations, which is good news because that means it's not going to directly affect restrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms. But what will happen is the people who are the lawmakers are going to be pressured to amend their laws, federal, state, and local, to include sexual orientation, gender identity in their own public accommodations law, but it's not going to be part of the federal law, which is good. And the other thing is that although the funeral home dropped the religious freedom claim, a very fatal decision, the court said that the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act and the First Amendment would be a defense to this court's ruling. We're going to continue to defend employers, religious employers, schools, counsel them all over the country regarding the impact of this ruling. For more information, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.